and that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah!
Woo! NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer, and it's the third happiest day of the NBA year. Wednesday, May 15, aka Draft Lottery Day. Yes! Love it. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie Rap, Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball, and getting some sweet ping pong ball action in the NBA playoffs today as we break down and wrap up after every single day of NBA action while repping Strayer just a little bit, mate. This is what we do. All right, so we had the draft lottery today, which was awesome. So we've got a new draft winners and losers, which is pretty great. We've got a wrap of game one as well of the Western Conference Finals between the Blazers and the Warriors. That's right, a game actually happened. Unreal stuff. So that's all going to be covered with the usual dumbassery if that's not enough. Old mate, no mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's there's the unpopular opinion of the day. And there's our back takehouse where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've also got a new sweaty hairy guy of the week and a Shane Heal shoot your shot, light him up award, which is pretty great. Plus, there's a look at the Eastern Conference Finals today. That's right, we're previewing the ECF between the Bucks and the Raps, as well as Game 1's odds and everything. So, going to get stuck into that before we close out with the brand new Rowdy's Recos. It's a lot going on. It's going to be good. At least I really hope so. All right, man, it's episode 286 of NBA Strayer. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better watch out for the attack of the basketball karma gods if you're a tanking team. Woo! Alright, so a quick bit of news as we start the daily whip around. Before we get into the draft lottery, winners and losers and everything, other news, Terry Rozier was on ESPN saying today that if the Celtics are basically the same as they were this year, there's probably a good chance that he's not going to be back next year. I might have to go, he said. And, you know, everybody in Boston's like, to be fair, Terry, we're fine with that. Other news, Jerry West is back with the Clippers 2 years after he joined the team as a fancy advisor man. Jerry West, the logo. He's agreed to return to the Clippers front office next season, which is pretty handy considering they've got a big offseason in the works, huh? Can you say Kawhi? Kawhi! Nice one. And final big massive news for Australian basketball. That's right. Big Simo Ben Simmons, Box Hill Benny, is going to be a boomer. It's a lot of bees. That's right. He said today in a video released via Twitter that he's all like, yep, shit, yeah. Thanks for an awesome year, Philly fans. It's all well and good. Also, straight up, I'm going to come play. I'm going to go play for the Greater Gold. I'm going to be a boomer. Now, there's no details as opposed to, you know, you got to assume that he's going to be playing the World Cup warm-up games where Australia plays the USA in Melbourne. A couple of games there. There's also a couple of other games in Sydney and all that sort of stuff, and then the lead up to the World Cup. So here's hoping the Big Simo is going to lead us to glory in the World Cup. And that Australian roster is looking pretty good at the moment now, isn't it? Starting centre Aaron Bangers Baines, son of Bruce, Jonah Bolden at power forward, Jinglin Joe Ingles at shooting guard, small forward. Got Big Simo there at point guard. You could have Patty Mills at shooting guard, or Deli, or Rowdy Brockoff, even Mitchie Creek. But anyway, you got Bogut, you've got Big Thon McCurr, you got Brock Modem, you got Dang Adele, you got Humpty, Isaac Humphreys, Patty Thrills. There's just a lot to choose from, which is pretty bloody terrific. So great news from Big Simo Ben Simmons today. Psyched on that. That is unreal. Let's go get that gold, fellas. All right. So the draft lottery was today, and what a lottery it was. And this is why it's my third favorite day, almost my second favorite day on the NBA calendar. But James, what are the other two ahead of that? And I'm like, well, sir, the actual draft itself is always absolutely amazing. And having gone to a bunch of them myself, it's unreal. And the first day of the season. I love the first day of the season when you like crack that first game. You're like, yes, it's back. But the lottery is right up there. Just sitting around drinking tins and just going, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen, but it's going to be fun. And it was. This was absolutely wild today. We had three of the four teams with the NBA's worst records ending up outside the top four ticks. We had top four picks. There we go. We had three teams move up more than six spots in the draft. Absolutely wild. So how good was this? We all kick off. We do all the, and here's Zach Lowe, and he's showing how it's done. There's lottery balls. They're in a blower, and Geeky Vandaway picks him out. It's like, yes, we get that. And now we're going to talk to Jay Billis and fucking the other Jay and all these other dipshits for ages. And now we're actually going to do the fucking lottery. And Mark Tatum, deputy commissioner, comes out and he's like, hi, everybody. It's really nice to be here. Let's do some draft lottery. And it's like, yes, let's do this fucking thing. And then they do it. And they're like, ah, the Celtics have got the 14th pick. And you're like, ah, fuck. That means the Sixers don't have number one. But anyway, the first big shock is when we get to the 11th spot and suddenly it is no longer the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, California. And you're like, oh, shit. The T-Wolves? Fuck, that means the Lakers have jumped into the top four. And that's exactly what had happened. The next big shock pretty much came at 9 when you're like, wait, the Wizards? And everybody's doing the mental calculations going, shit, does that mean, hang on a second, ah, crap. When the Wizards are revealed, that means the Grizzlies and Pelicans have jumped up into the top four. You're like, holy crap. So then when you're like, oh, shit. So this means we've got the Lakers, the Grizzlies, and the Pelicans in the top four at some point. So you get to the pick, the fifth pick, and you're like, all right, so who could this be? It's going to be the Cavs, the Knicks, and they unveil the Cavs. Boom! Meaning the Knicks are in the top four as well. So we have the Lakers, Knicks, Pelicans, and Grizz. The two biggest markets and the two smallest markets in the NBA in the top four of the draft. And everyone's like, ah, fuck, the Lakers and Knicks are going to go 1-2. It's going to be rigged. And in fact, the exact opposite happened because the Lakers get the fourth pick, the Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
With the fourth pick, and the New York Knickerbockers of New York City get the third pick as well, which is pretty great in a two-man draft. Love it. So then the winner would obviously then be out of the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, two teams that had tied for having the seventh best odds, and the Pelicans got the benefit of the extra ping pong bounce if with the seventh lottery spot when, you know, they just read it out. So anyway, they jump from basically the seventh best odds and get the number one pick, relegating the Grizzlies pretty happily, I guess, to another number two pick. The Grizzlies love that number two spot, don't they? Hashim Thabit! Anyway, so that's great stuff. And, you know, this is absolutely wild. So just to recap the actual entire thing. So we have the Celtics at 14, the Heat at 13, the Hornets at 12, the T-Wolves at 11, the Hawks at 8 and 10. In between there is Wizards at 9. Then you have the Bulls at 7, the Suns at 6, the Cavs at 5, the Lakers at 4, the Knicks at 3, the Grizz at 2, and Pelicans sitting there going, yeah, we're taking Zion at number 1. So absolutely wild, man. The 7th best odds, they jumped to the first pick. 8th best odds, they jumped to number 2. The first best odds, or the best odds, first best, yeah, good usage of the English language there, me. The Cavs, they dropped to 5. They dropped to 6 due to the Suns. And the Knicks dropped to 3. Absolutely wild times. 11th best drops jumps up to 4 as well. Wild, wild stuff. As mentioned, man, the Cavs dropping from the best odds to 5th. And the Suns, equal best odds, dropping to 6th is absolutely brutal. But the just as brutal as Chicago, dropping from 2nd best odds to 7, all the way to 7. Absolutely crazy. Now, with expanding the lottery to the top 4, this has actually kind of knocked Cleveland, Phoenix, and Chicago down a little bit. Because prior to the that happening, the worst they could have been is all the way down to 6 for Chicago. And Phoenix and Cavs, the worst would have been 5. So it's a tough one, but hey, man, this is what I fucking love. Fuck tanking. Random it up a little bit. We got it as random as you could get. So, with all this, the Hawks, they get their Dallas pick. It's pick 10. So they end up with 8 and 10, which is pretty strange. And I don't know. The Wiz, that's a tough one for them. They all fall all the way down to 9. They jump by 3 teams. Brutal. But with this all in mind, let's do a bit of draft lottery winners and losers.
Oh my God. I won! I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me? There you go. In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed. Goodbye!
I love it, that's right. Draft lottery winners. Obviously, New Orleans. That's right, the Pelicans were not the Pelicans today. They were the Pelicans as they jumped from 7th best odds to 1. Absolutely wild. They get to replace the brow, Anthony Davis, with another number one pick, Zion Williamson. That's if Anthony Davis leaves. We're going to talk about that later. So the New Orleans are clear draft lottery winners. Absolutely wild scenes. It's going to be great when they move to Seattle in a couple of years too. So great job, New Orleans. Other draft winners, obviously the Grizz. They get to take Ja Morant, trade Mike Conley. They've got Ja Morant, Triple J. That's neck level awesome. They didn't convey this pick to Boston and end up with Ja Morant. That is a huge win with the Grizzlies. Absolutely massive. Because their entire thing was like, fuck, we need to jump up, or we need to jump up into one or two, or basically this has been a fucking bust. We're going to have to give the goddamn pick to the Celtics at some point. We just want to do it this year. Grizz jumped to number two. Absolutely psyched. Good on them. Now they can just, you know, give up that pick whenever the fuck they want and you'll be laughing. Other winners, obviously the Lakers. The Lakers. Jumped from 11 to 4. Now have a extra pretty good asset, actually, to add to LeBron's team. When they want to trade for Anthony Davis, you go, oh, we've got number 4. What do you reckon? Is that cool? And here's also a bunch of other stuff. I mean, sure. Still, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but Anthony Davis may as well just stay. But the Lakers, definite winners. I mean, they were losers in the way that New Orleans got the first pick, which might mean Anthony Davis stays, but at the same time, they jumped from 11 to 4, so that's a huge win. The Dallas Mavericks, that's right, the Dallas Mavericks lost their pick, but only gave up number 10, so that is a massive, massive draft lottery win for the Mavs. Being jumped by so many teams was awesome for them because they only give up the number 10 pick in this draft to Atlanta as part of the Luka Doncic Trae Young trade from last year. I mean, this means they can go sign somebody if they want. They can just go like trade for Mike Conley if they want. Dallas got to feel pretty bloody good about trading Trae Young and the number 10 pick for Luka Doncic. Absolute win for Dallas. The legend of David Griffin is a draft winner as well. That's right, the newly installed president of basketball ops for the old New Orleans Pelicans there. That's his fourth lottery win. 2011, David Griffin won the lottery. 2013, David Griffin won the lottery. 2014, David Griffin won the lottery. 5 years later, 2019, David Griffin wins the lottery. Good luck, charm. Much. Jesus. And Phoenix didn't hire him. The Lakers didn't hire him. The Knicks didn't hire him. What the fuck are y'all doing? You hire him, he basically comes with the number one pick. That's how it goes. I love it. Great stuff, draft winners. All right, what about our draft losers, however?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys. Shut up. Loser.
Loser. Draft losers. That's right, the draft lottery losers. The New York Knickerbockers of New York City, New York. Dropping in their minds from Zion Williamson to the number 3 overall pick hurts. Hurts so much more after everybody in New York was losing their fucking minds about having Zion when it's like, guys, you realize you only have a 14% chance of getting the number 1 pick. So really, getting number 3 isn't as bad as it could have been, and it's pretty much a pretty good outcome. 14% chance. You're acting like the Cavs and the fucking Suns didn't have the exact same chance as you, you idiots. So Knicks and Knicks fans, absolute losers. But hey, man, they still get number 3. So whoever's left after 1 and 2, they have their pick of the bunch. So good on them. Patrick Ewing is a draft loser as well. He's being wheeled out there for good luck by the Knicks when they won't even have the nice, you know, sense to bring him in for a look at their coaching gig ever. That's a bit of a shit move by the Knicks. It's like, oh, Pat, can you be a good luck charm and get us the number one pick? He's like, fuck all. God damn it. Fine. Maybe you'll, as long as you actually interview me next time you have a coach opening, like in a year and a half. Come on. Other draft losers, the Cleveland. Who's that, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland
Cavaliers. That's right. Oosh. Equal best odds down to five. Crushing after a shitty year. You're sitting there going, fuck, man, we could replace LeBron. We've got Colin Sexton. If we get Zion Williamson, it's going to be on, son. That's going to be a no from me, dog. The Suns as well are draft losers because that's even worse, man. They went from the first spot down to sixth. But at the same time, I don't feel bad for the Suns. They've got Devin Booker. They won it last year. They had Ayton, so who cares? So the same thing goes to the Cavs. You've already won like three draft lotteries. Get the fuck out of here. So up your ass. So the Suns, that's a bit tough because the Suns, you feel like it would have been great to have like a fatter Charles Barkley there with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Josh Jackson. But I don't know, man. Do you trust the Suns to do anything right anyway if they had all three of those four dudes? Whatever. The other draft losers are the Bulls going to seventh. Absolutely crazy. That rebuild going to take a little bit longer, pals. That's tough for the Bulls fans. And the Wizards, same as well, right? Dreams of Wall, Beal, and Zion. They get jumped by three teams, end up with a ninth pick. Brutal. And then finally, the Hawks are the draft losers as well. Draft lottery losers. Ideas of Trae Young, Jordan Collins, that's a title cocktail. Kevin Huerta and Zion Williamson bringing some of that fire to the Hawks and making them awesome. Gone. And now they've got the 8th and 10th pick. Unreal. Great. Wicked. And final draft lottery loser. Do you want to say it with me?
Zion Williamson.
I mean, best of luck in, you know, carving out a huge career in New Orleans, Zion. Didn't work out great for Anthony Davis, but how's that guy? He's like, fuck yeah, I'm going to New York. And it's like, nope, you're going to New Orleans. He's like, fuck. At least the gumbo's unreal, man. Just saying. All right. So there you go. That's the draft lottery wrap. Winners and losers. That was fun as hell. I absolutely love this time of year. Draft lottery is incredible. Western Conference Finals kickoff. Unreal. So, it was weird also doing the draft lottery like sober and crazy, you know?
That's right. I'm sober and crazy and I don't know what I might do.
That's exactly right. So let's do a wrap for today's game, shall we? That's right. Let's do Western Conference Finals Game 1. We previewed this yesterday with PDX Pete and nothing that we really said came to fruition. The Warriors shit pumped the Blazers 116-94. This was an absolute laugher in the fourth quarter. Look, it was close though, and Portland did stay within sniffing distance for a lot of it. Our prediction of, my prediction yesterday of Golden State in six feels much more like a gentleman's sweep after this. We had Kevin Durant ruled out for game one and probably game two before the game, and Rodney Hood was announced as coming back. He had a bone bruise in his left knee, and you're like, all right, cool, that's good news for the Blazers. And it did actually feel pretty good after the first half. Hood hit that buzzer-beating three at the end of the first quarter. They're down 27-23. Rough first quarter for the Blazers, though. Not too many shots going down. Shooting horribly. Bunch of turnovers, but they're only down four. And that was the story, basically, for the second quarter as well, man. The Warriors are out there running. Quinn Cook, Sean Livingston, Clay, Jonas Derebko, and Jordan Bell. And the Blazers couldn't fight their way back into it. You're like, what the shit is going on? Golden State are basically running like a January lineup out there in the Western Conference Finals. Reckon they've got much respect there for the Blazers? Holy crap. Clay was looking hesitant to start until he hit a couple of shots. He hit one with a foot on a line and then another massive three. He had 11 points going into that sort of half. And you're like, oh, this is pretty good. 11 points. He shot 14 times in the first half. And end up with four fouls. And you're like, oh, shit. That's a bit rough. But didn't really matter because he ended up absolutely crushing it. The Swedish Larry Bird got going in the second quarter as well. He had 7 points. Steph went back to the locker room very quickly where everyone's like a little bit worried about his knee. Don't forget he sprained that MCL last year in spring that took him a while to come back from. So you don't want him hurting his knee. And the Blazers had sort of done a couple of little, you know, maneuvers. They'd put Mo Harkless on Curry, which I kind of like that wrinkle. But Steph went, you know what? Doesn't fucking matter, mate. I'm just going to keep crushing it. Aminu absolutely killed me a couple of times in this second quarter. He's like, what was it? Mike Breen out there. Aminu, wide open from three. Clank. It's like, yeah, that's how it goes. It was weird. The Blazers stuck close. They kept it down to like, you know, four, but they were shooting 3-12 from three, shooting 33% from the field. They're only down four. You got to feel pretty cool. And then Steph Curry, just towards the end of the second quarter, hits a couple of threes. He had 19 points in the half, two massive threes, including one falling out of bounds just before the half buzzer. And, you know, suddenly they'd sort of jump back up 9 points. It was 54-45 at the break. Blazers was shooting 32%, 3 of 14 on threes versus 7 of 15. Dame had 12. He didn't do much after that. It was pretty wild, man. Like, getting within 3 and 4 and then that Curry explosion was a bit of a kick in the nuts for the Blazers, because you feel like if they had have stayed within 6 or so at the half, they might have been okay. But giving up that extra 3 to Curry just really, really, really hurt. But what else? I mean, then they go into the third quarter. The Warriors bench is playing great. Draymond had had a really good first half. The Warriors had jump up 14 after a couple of runs of threes from Steph as well. Just, it was weird watching the Blazers drop back on the pick and roll and Steph Curry just going, oh, no, that's cool. I'll just shoot this open three. Is that cool? He had 6 threes at that point. Absolutely wild. 17 turnovers by that point for the Blazers. Steph hits another three and like they're up 17. And look, Portland, to their credit, did go on a little bit of a run towards the end of the third. Steph threw a behind-the-back pass out of bounds. The Blazers got down only 9. Hood had a turnover there where it looked like he sprung his knee again. He turned it over and just basically gave up the ball. But they still kept it under 10. Hood was solid. He hit a couple of big threes. And then, you know, you're like, cool. They're still within a shot. It was 77-71. And then, yeah, Steph just went, right, fuck it. We're going to do it. Bench for the Warriors came out. It was doing great stuff. Quinn Cook hit some big shots. Looney hit some shots. Clay hit a three. They're back up 11. Mo Harkless missed a three where you're like, oh, shit, nah. And then it was just basically that's how the entire sort of second half went. The Warriors kept up that lead of like 8-9 points. Then it just sort of bounced back up to 14-17. And the Blazers couldn't make any headroom. And the dagger basically came with three from the corner from Draymond, and that was all she wrote. And it was literally garbage time. They're up 17 with 2.5 minutes left, and that was it. They emptied the benches, and I'm like, this is a Western Conference Finals game. What the fuck is going on here? Anyway, so there you go. Blazers lose in a pretty humiliating fashion, really, because you end up losing by 22, 116-94. You shot 36%, 7 of 28 from the field, had 21 turnovers. That absolutely killed him. Dame was off his game once more, 4 of 12 from the field for him for 19 points, 7 turnovers. CJ couldn't back up his wild game 7, as predicted yesterday with PDXP, 17 points on 19 shots, 1 of 5 from downtown for him. And 3 turnovers as well. Kanter, look, 16 rebounds was pretty good, and he had a couple of man-sized ones as well, but only 10 points for Kanter and 4 turnovers. Bit rough. Mo Harkless was good, went 7 of 12 from the field for his 17 points, but only went 1 of 4 from 3. And there's like 2 extra threes in there that if Mo hits them, you feel like, oh shit, the Blazers are going to win this. But not quite. Aminu, he ends up with 3 points, 5 rebounds. The bench for the old Blazers there as well. Hood was once again very good, continuing his very good player. 17 points, 4 of 8 from the field. Good on him. But it was everybody else. Seth the shit one Curry was absolutely horrible. 3 points. We'll talk about him later. Evan the villain Turner, also not very good. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 0 points once more. Thanks for getting us to the Western Conference Finals, Evan. Did you get on the fucking team bus or not? Jesus. 2 turnovers as well. Zachy Cakes Collins, he had 8 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist. Missed a 3 and missed a little sort of runner in the paint where you're like, oh, absolutely killer misses for Zach. And then that was kind of it. Scal, Labissiere, Anthony Simons, and Jake Layman got out there for 2 minutes of garbage time at the end and did absolutely zero. So yeah, there you go. Blazers just not held up at all by their starting backcourt, who combined to shoot 11 of 31 and 3 of 10 from downtown. Brutal stuff for 10 turnovers between the two of them as well. So tough stuff from the Blazers. For the Warriors, for their part, they shot the bloody lights out at home in game one. 51.5% from three. Absolutely crazy. 17 of 33 they shot. 50% overall from the field. Only 14 turnovers versus 21. Steph Curry. Absolutely wild. 9 made threes in the end. 36 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Klay with 26 points as well. Draymond chucked in a very, very handy 12, 10, and 5 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. He was everywhere early. Also had 4 turnovers. And you're like, look, Draymond looks a little bit shaky here. There's a couple of like weird mishandled things, and that's why the Blazers were kind of in this a little bit early as well. But then they just couldn't, you know, put on the clamps. Iguodala had 4 points as well, 5 assists. Bogut got out there. 2 points, 4 rebounds in his 8 minutes. 4 rebounds, was it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice one. On you, Bogey. 2 steals and a block as well for the big fella. Unreal. NBL MVP. But the Warriors bench. This was huge. My name is Jonas Jerebko. The Swedish Larry Bird out there crushed it. 9 points on 3 of 5 shooting in only 15 minutes. He was great in that second quarter. And when he's actually out there doing shit, the Warriors just look unbeatable. Livingston had 4 points as well. Jordan Bell had a 3-point, 4 rebound, 3 assist game. Jordan Bell in 11 minutes in a Western Conference Finals game 1. Alfonso McKinney had 3 points as well. Kevon Looney was awesome. He had 6 points, 3 steals and a block. Great D on Rodney Hood a couple of times, which was pretty wild when he got switched down on him. Also wearing sweet green and gold shoes, maybe looking to glom on to your inevitable world champion Australian Boomers, maybe. Maybe Bogut sitting there on that bench talking to Kevon Looney going, man, just come play for us. It's going to be sweet. Quinn Cook hit 2 massive threes on his way to 8 points as well. He was huge, taking Kevin Durant's spot basically. And Damian Jones came back, got a massive O coming in from the torn pec. He chucked in 3 points. He was great. And there you go. The Warriors, the Golden State Warriors in the Steve Kerr era in the playoffs are now 18-1 in game 1. The only loss they have is against the Thunder back in, was that 16? So brutal. Golden State, absolutely shit pump your Trailblazers and take a 1-0 lead in the Western Conference Finals. All right. There you go. Nice little wrap for you. Let's do a bit of the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Steph Curry. Yes, get the fuck out of here. 9 made threes, equaling his career high. 36 points. He was unstoppable. Those 2 threes at the end of the first half were absolutely crazy. And then a couple, like, he had a 13-point third quarter and just kept rolling, man. 12 of 23 from the floor, 9 of 15 from 3. Absolutely insane. 7 assists, 6 rebounds, a plus 10, only 1 turnover, which was that weird behind-the-back pass where he just chucked it out of bounds. But he was unstoppable. He is, like Thanos, inevitable. But also, look, the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night goes to the ping pong balls of the NBA Draft Lottery. You know, good job, ping pong balls, coming up New Orleans. That's awesome. And also, the Approved Performance of the Night goes to Elvin Gentry yelling, fuck yeah, in the lottery room once he found out that they'd won and it was their combo that came up. Absolutely wild. On you, Elvin Gentry. You deserve good things. I think he's a good dude. And Anthony Davis has been a fucking dickhead. So, you know, now he gets to play with Zion Williamson. That's sweet. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Is it every Knicks fan ever? This is why you can't have nice things. All the hype, all the losing your fucking minds, all the like, hey, Zion's definitely a Knick. He's coming to the Knicks. He loves the Knicks. He's going to be a Knick for life. We're going to have Zion. We're going to have KD. We're going to have Kyrie. We're going to be amazing. Go, Knicks. Fuck you. This is why you can't have nice things, because you go overboard. Meanwhile, Cleveland, that's right, Stephen A. Smith, Cleveland, and the Phoenix Suns had the exact same odds as you, and no one like was fucking losing their minds like that. I mean, shit. Come on, man. Your chances of picking worse than third were nearly 60%. So the fact that you got the 3 pick is fucking wild, Nick. So I don't know. This is a pretty big lesson in Knicks fans. Pull your fucking heads in. You haven't won a title since 73. Ugh. You had a horrible fucking like run. You've traded Porzingis. Best of luck in the free agency. Enjoy Kevin Durant. Spud of the night, though.
Spud of the night.
Look, I know that mums love their kids, but look, Sonya Curry would have been well within her rights to take off that fucking Trailblazers jersey for Seth Curry. Seth the shit one. He's going up against his brother. He's like, all right. It's the battle of the Currys. We're going to be awesome. and proceeded to be the shit one once more. And has been shit basically all these playoffs apart from basically two games. Tonight, he was absolutely atrocious. 1 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 3 from three, 3 points. It was a -5 in 17 minutes. He fucking sucked. Absolutely brutal. Meanwhile, his brother goes off at 36-6-7. Seth is out there sputting it up. It was actually 1 of 7 in the end, sorry. 1 of 7 from the floor, 1 of 4 from downtown. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, a -10 in only 19 minutes. Absolutely wild. And don't forget, he was shit basically the entire series versus Denver and OKC. He had 2 decent games of 9 and 8 points against OKC. He shot 29.5% for the entire series. And then against Denver, shot 29.3%. Only had the 1 decent game where he hit 4 threes and they lost that anyway. So he shot 13 of 37 against Denver and 9 of 25 from 3. And we're all losing our minds going, ah, it's brother versus brother. And Seth just went out there and went, you know he's like me, but if you left me outside on the line for like a month and a half, like a bedraggled towel that someone forgot about at a fucking share house. Jesus. Tough one. Tough one. But speaking of Steph Curry, panting of the night goes to the Portland Trailblazers and their very, puzzling decisions about how to defend Steph Curry. The Blazers are just sitting there going, look, I don't know, man. There's nothing we can do against Steph. We'll go under some of these pick and rolls. We'll sit back on it. I mean, what could we do? Meanwhile, the Warriors are out there blitzing and absolutely crushing, pressuring Dame Lillard. Dame's turning the ball over, passing bad, taking horribly tough shots. Smash cut back to the Blazers going, look, I really don't know what we could do against Steph. Smash cut back to the Blazers and Dame just going, fuck, I can't get a good shot off. I can't handle the ball. And the Blazers going, I don't know. What can we do? Hey, I don't know, Blazers. Maybe don't sit back on the greatest shooter in NBA history. Maybe. Maybe you have to pressure him. Maybe you have to blitz him. Maybe you have to throw double teams at him when he's just like, ah, I've got the ball. Fuck. Absolute panting was delivered by Steph Curry on the Blazers and their defensive assignments today. Cantor just sitting back in the paint, inviting Curry to shoot is just unforgivable. The times that CJ got left behind on pick and rolls as well is just gross. I don't know, man. It was absolutely brutal. And this is what happens when you have Cantor out there. You just can't play Cantor. Just saying. All right, finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as coming for everybody means ripping people off and selling them shoddy merchandise.
Debo.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Ultimately, you know, it's balling season.
It's balling season!
Which means sitting at home watching the playoffs and watching the draft lottery going, oh, I hope LeBron doesn't trade me today. But better than Lonzo Ball today is Zion Williamson. That's right, because before playing an NBA minute, he's already better than Lonzo, isn't he? He's better spoken. He's engaging. He's got a ton of charisma. He looks like a good hang. People seem to dig him. Lonzo is basically a fucking homeschool weirdo that everyone's like, have you hung out with him? He's fucking strange, man. Lonzo is definitely that kid at school where you're like, something a bit odd about this kid. And then you find out that, yeah, he was like homeschooled until he was like 15 or something. So, yeah. Anyway, Zion definitely better than Lonzo Ball. All right, let's go to Yeah Nas right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Oh, man. This is where we do Yeah Nah. But I didn't mention, I broke my toe yesterday jumping over the back of the couch to yell at the dog. And now I'm limping around like a fucking asshole. I don't know. You meant to go to the doctor on a broken toe? It's like the third toe. It's all fucked up on the end, but it's like, it hasn't broken the skin. It's just this horrible mess. And like, you know, it hurts. But Jesus, I feel like an idiot. I was like, oh, wait, shut up. Jumped over the back of the couch. I'm like, ow, that fucking hurt. Yeah, broken toe. Moron. Yeah, never doubt that I'm a fucking idiot. Anyway, so this is why you should take my opinions on basketball definitely into consideration and with a grain of salt. All right, yeah, nah, we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, have we fixed tanking? Yeah, nah. Oh, nah, but almost, haven't we? How good was it to see the four teams at the top of the NBA draft lottery stakes not end up in the top two. Only one of the top four ends up in the top three. That's fucking awesome. It means that next year when you're out there going, fuck, we suck. All right, who's the draft picks that we should be tanking for? It's like, oh, well, when the number ninth worst team in the NBA can just jump ahead of everybody and get number one, what the fuck is point of tanking? I love this. I've been yelling about this for the last two fucking years on this goddamn show. Even out the odds and it'll be fine. They finally do it and guess what? It fucking works. What a surprise. Ugh. Hey, moron. Anyway, number two. Can we finally say that Dallas won the Luka Trae Young trade yet? Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah. I mean, Luka for Trae Young in the number 10 pick in a fucking two-player draft? Sign me the fuck up. I'd do that in a heartbeat. The rookie of the year, the dude who went out there and looked completely composed and handled his shit pretty amazingly. For Trae Young, who was good for half a year, and the number 10 pick in this draft, I'd do that in a heartbeat. All right. Number three, Anthony Davis time. If Anthony Davis still reckons he's gone, do you trade him to New York City? You take the number four pick, number three pick rather, the future first from Dallas, Kevin Knox, get him and throw Mitch Robinson. Would I take that? Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, if he doesn't want to stay, you've got to boot him and take RJ Barrett with like the three pick, don't you? At that point, get Kevin Knox as well. Go Zion, you're our boy. Let's do this fucking thing. We got your mate. We're going to smash it. New Orleans for life. I love this. But I don't know, man. This is the weird thing about the New York City Knickerbockers of New York with the number three pick versus the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, California. With the number four pick and their existing trade package that they've already thrown at you. Like, yeah, that sort of sucks. But now you've got the four pick to throw in there too. Which also leads us into the next year now. If you're the Pelicans, do you prefer the Celtics' offer of future picks plus Jason Tatum over anything else? Yeah, nah. Oh, yeah, nah. It's so close though, right? Like, if I can get pick three or four and get a young bunch of dudes from either the Knicks or the Lakers, whether it be Kevin Knox and Mitch Robinson or Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, does Jason Tatum and a bevy of shit future picks trump that? Like the future Memphis pick next year, maybe, sure. What, the 14th pick this year? No, I don't know, man. Like Tatum, he might have the highest ceiling of everybody not named Zion or AD in all these trade talks. But the draft pick, maybe more draft picks in the future, other young talents. It's so tricky. So tricky. I don't think I'd do it. I'm not sure. I think I kind of like getting pick three and pairing RJ Barrett with him and just going, right, fuck it, we're Duke South. Let's do this fucking thing. Nice. Jason Tatum, man. Rich man's Harrison Barnes. Still hurts my heart watching him sort of swan through this year. That's like, oh, come on, man. All right, and final yeah, nah. Are the Lakers stoked with this result? Yeah, nah. Absolutely fuck yes. Shit, yeah. From 11 to 4, you got to be stoked just to have that extra asset as well versus pick 11. And finally, this one got thrown out there before as well. Should Zion Williamson just go, look, hey, I'm going to pull the old, was it Eli Manning? Just go, yep, I don't want to play in New Orleans. I only want to play in New York or LA. Trade me. I mean, yeah, nah. I mean, he probably should if he wants to make a kajillion billion dollars. But it'd be fun, wouldn't it? Because that leads us into the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I think Anthony Davis should stay. I know that he wore the stupid fucking That's All Folks t-shirt and he's burned all his bridges. But people want to trade him over and over and over. Anthony Davis, though, do you really, really, after saying so much about how you want your legacy to be winning, do you want to go to LA to play with an old-ass LeBron James? And like what, a gutted roster after they've traded for you? Or just fucking stay in New Orleans and get to play with the brand new, shiny, just off the fucking line, LeBron James in Zion Williamson? AD, just fucking stay there. What's better? You got Jrue Holiday. You've got Zion Williamson. You've got you. This is great. What, you reckon it's better than like being traded to LA, and it's like, you, LeBron, and Rondo? Fuck out of here. Anthony Davis should stay. That'd be the smarter basketball move. LeBron's got, what, 2-3 good years left? And then you're gonna be like, cool, we've got old LeBron. Meanwhile, Zion's tearing it up, being the fucking best goddamn power forward in the game. Come on, man. Extra look at me, unpopular opinion of the day. Down 17 with 2.5 minutes left. I don't care. Why are you going to the benches, Portland? Kind of feel like you got to show a hint of fucking fight down the stretch there, right? Flex a little bit on them. Get them on their toes. Go, look, we're going to figure out some shit. Don't put your fucking benches in. Wave the white flag, you cowards. Anyway. All right, let's step into Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback. And you know what that means. Walkabout Wednesday with West Sydney Razorbacks, cooked by West Sydney Razorbacks legend Derek Rucker, cooking some West Sydney Razorback ribs at the back. That's right, West Sydney Razorback ribs cooked by West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker, only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, the NBA clearly rigged a lottery because Anthony Davis has already demanded a trade out in New Orleans because of the small franchise not being able to keep a superstar. So the NBA gave the Pelicans Zion so he'll either stay or give them a contingency plan once they trade that bugger. Only at Outback. All right, Australian Player Watch, Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week, and then Shane Hill, Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up Award after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. The Australian Player Watch. We only had Big Bogey because he's the remaining Australian in the NBA for the playoffs at the moment. Game one versus the Blazers. He got out there. He started again in absence of Kevin Durant. Played 8 minutes. He had 2 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. That's huge, Bogey. If you extrapolate that into per 36, he's out there dropping 10 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists, 8 steals, and 4 blocks. He's unstoppable. Unreal. Good stuff, Bogey. And obviously, big cinema, Ben Simmons announcing that he wants to play for the Australian national team is absolutely unreal. So good job, big Simo Ben Simmons. Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week this week, the Mark Bradke Memorial. Let's give this one to Jake. I'm not a layman. That's right, Jake Layman. He got out there for 2.5 minutes today. And you're like, oh, that shouldn't be quite enough to work up a bit of a sweat. He's like, aha, hold your bloody horses, pal. I'm going to be a -5 in my 3 minutes and take 2 3-pointers. I'm going to brick pretty badly. Also, I look like I'm about to go hiking in the Oregon wilderness. I'm pretty hairy, and I'm also really sweaty. Look like the guy being out in the goddamn rain and then, like, run back inside the Rose Garden, Oracle Arena. And went, oh, are we still playing? Coach's like, get the fuck on there, Jake. Jesus. So, yeah, Jake Layman, you are our Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week. All right, what else do we do on Wednesdays? That's right, it's time for a Shane Hill Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up Award.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Oh, praise the Lord, I am healed. Because it is a Shane Hill Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up Award. How about Steph Curry?
It's like, but James, you already talked about him in the NBA Australia pre-performance of the night.
Yes, sir. But still, don't forget, Steph Curry had 33 points in the second half of Game 6 against the Rockets there. And then had a massive one today. So he's gone 33 points in the second half of game 7. He had 36 points today on 12 of 23 shooting, 9 of 15 from 3, equaling a career high playoff best. 9 of 15 in a playoff game. That's absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. 9 of 15 from downtown. That is pretty nuts. But the craziest part is, if you recap that, just think about it. His last 3 halves of basketball have produced 69 nice points on 21 of 38 shooting and 13 of 24 from 3 in 3 halves of basketball. His last 3 halves, 69 points on 21 of 38 and 13 of 24 from downtown. If that is not Shane the Hammer Hill-esque, I don't know what is. Turns out Steph Curry's good. Just a heads up, Blazers. Maybe, just maybe, you should blitz and trap him and get the ball out of his hands and not sit back on him in pick and rolls. Just saying. All right, let's do the Patty Mills Game Day, Baller Game Day, and Toronto-Milwaukee Finals preview right after these.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. Right. Let's do it. Let's do the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. And look, Joe Ingles is firing up the tweet machine, and it is absolutely unreal. So if you're not following him, you should be already. But Patty Mills did jump on the old Instagram to inspire us all a little bit and put a photo out. It's pretty good. I'll tell you what. He's still in New York, is Patty. And tweeted out a picture of him in a pair of jocks and a shirt saying, "Under all the armor is a product of the first Australians." Fist pump emoji, Under Armour, at Kristen Singer or Soul, a bunch of other ats, whatever. But he looks awesome on your Patty. Ripped, shredded, absolutely out there, ready to kick ass, take some names. Meanwhile, Jingling Joe Ingles is tweeting absolute fire, saying, "I think Renee Ingles should go in Dancing with the Stars." And after I said yesterday, the day I retire is the day I'm back on a flight to Australia. Pretty bloody good. Max replied to Jingling Joe saying, "Wind down with a couple of seasons with the 36ers. Jingling Joe Ingles replied, "Are they relocating to Melbourne?" I'm going to have to get the fire truck out and hose that guy down because he got burnt by Joe Ingles. Love it. In your face, Adelaide. All right, so let's finally get around to previewing the Eastern Conference Finals, shall we? That's right, the Eastern Conference Finals between the Toronto Raptors of Toronto, Canada, and the Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks. Absolutely unreal. So what do we do and how do we preview these series here in NBA Australia? Well, one big question each. And for Milwaukee and Toronto, it seems pretty easy. Milwaukee's big question is, can they slow down Kawhi? I mean, that seems fairly obvious. And for Toronto, the big question is simply, can they slow down Giannis? Look, we could go more and deeper into this thing and, like, you know, will Milwaukee's bench show up? Will Nico Mirotic do anything? Can Brook Lopez actually hit a couple of shots after being really shit last series? And for Toronto, you can go, well, are they able to trust anybody on that court apart from basically Kawhi, maybe Serge Ibaka, because Gasol, Lowry, and Siakam went missing in that Game 7 against the Sixers. But really, it does boil down to, can Milwaukee slow down Kawhi and not let the rest of the Raptors beat them? In Toronto, can they slow down Giannis and not let the rest of the Bucks beat them? Because when you got two ascended superstars like they do, probably going hammer and tongs against each other, whoever sort of, you know, has the worst game, you got a feeling that it's going to go that way opposite them, right? So for the key blokes for the series, we've got Kyle Lowry. Will he be big booty Kyle Lowry, or will he be bitch-ass mode car playoff Kyle Lowry? You know? George Hill, can he keep it up when Bledsoe sucks? He was amazing against Boston. George Hill, out there crushing it. He's had a great playoffs. So he's going to be key for Milwaukee. Serge Ibaka was horrible for a lot of the playoffs up until the last three games of that Sixers series as well for the Raps. Can he continue that run of good form? And Brook Lopez struggled last series against Boston. Can he find his shot again and keep spreading that floor for the Bucks? It's going to be interesting as well because the matchups to keep an eye on. Obviously, you got Kawhi versus Giannis, Middleton, whoever they want to throw at him. And then you got the big dudes. You got Gasol and Lopez. And who does Gasol cover when Lopez isn't in there? Does he cover Mirotic? Sure. Do the Bucks play Giannis at the five just to really fuck shit up? Go small. Yes, do that. Other fun matchups. You got big booty Kyle Lowry versus big booty Bledsoe. That's going to be fun. And Pascal Siakam and Chris Middleton as the underrated second banana battle. I love a good underrated second banana battle. And Siakam went absolutely bottled it in Game 7 against the Sixers. And Chris Middleton's been pretty solid. He's had an up and down kind of playoffs, but it's going to be good to see who whoever plays the better out of those two dudes, you get the feeling their team might end up winning. So a bit of yeah, nah. Predictions I've got. Bucks in six. And the Bucks are 6-point favorites for tomorrow. And I'm going to take the Bucks minus 6. I think they're going to win this game 1 against Toronto. Giannis did come out and say you can't drop a game 1 against Toronto because they're a tough sort of thing. And you're like, yeah, no shit. So yeah, nah. Do you have the Bucks beating Toronto tomorrow? Yeah, I do. Minus 6. Give it to me. Love it. And you know what? We're going to wrap that game up tomorrow. Ah, that's right. We're back tomorrow with all the usual ridiculous bullshit here at NBA Australia. So in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, IG, all that good stuff. We're all over the socials during the games. You know that. Also, make sure you chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever Android app you use to listen to NBA Australia. Mash a rating, leave a review if you can. It really helps out heaps. Tell a mate if you're like, all right, dickhead, you need to stay up to date on the NBA, NBA Australia. Do that. Also, if you're going to go do some shopping on Amazon, go to NBAAustralia.com first, then mash the giant Amazon button on the right-hand side. They kick us a couple of shekels on the back end, and it really helps out. So support us. Come on, man. We're out here doing this day in, day out. Also, big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's an absolute rip snorter. T-shirt's great. The vinyl's awesome. Go buy the vinyl. It's really good. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia, support Australian bands. Nice one. All right. Get psyched for Raptors Bucks tomorrow. I'm excited. It's going to be awesome. And that's it. We're going to finish off today's show with a brand new Rowdy's Recos as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by with another life hack. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, we're going to win the World Cup later, Jose! Oh, hello there, friends. Ryan, Rowdy, Brockoff here. Just back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan, Rowdy, Brockoff, try to help you live a life that's a little bit more stress-free. After all, I played in Russia, where once our draft lottery was literally that. It was a lottery to see who had to go fight for the Russian military. I mean, I'm not even Russian. So, you could say that I've dealt with ridding myself of my fair share of stress. Okay, so this week's Rowdy's Reco is really, really simple. If you're stressing out, if life is getting a bit overwhelming, one of the easiest life hacks out there, it's one of my favorites. It's a really simple way to relax yourself, and it's great for your mindset. It's just make yourself a cup of tea. That's right, it doesn't matter how much work is getting you down or whatever else in your life is stressing you out. If you just pour yourself a nice cup of steaming hot tea and just sit back for a second and let those tannins and vitamins do their invigorating work, you'll find that your mind clears and feels better than not having to fight for the Russian military in the Crimea. Seriously, there's literally almost nothing better for your soul than a cup of tea. The British Empire was founded on the clanker of crockery and the simple act of creating something healthy, nutritious, and cleansing to completely help clear your mind. I mean, while I played in Russia, the only tea we could get our hands on was literally a tea that had fallen off a building that we boiled in water on a stovetop. It was horrible, but it was also still better than being drafted to go fight in the Crimea for the Russian military. So there you go, it's simple. Feeling tired, feeling stressed, just pop off and make yourself a cuppa. It can be green tea, it can be Earl Grey, it can be Irish breakfast, it can be ginger, it can be lemon, it can be fruit, it can be whatever. As long as that steamy brew hits your lips, you'll get into a zone and the pace and rhythms of your life will slow down and wash all over you, leaving you feeling great, less stressed and ready to take on the world in no time. Okay, so that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. Until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. Keep living your best life. And namaste.